This time next week, we'll be on the verge of hearing what the Supreme Court has to say about health care, meaning Obamacare. Does it get thrown out? The constitutionality of it completely ripped to shreds, especially with the individual health mandate? Or does it stand up? I can't imagine that it stands up. Most of the people who handicapped it for us felt as though it would go down. But that changed from day to day. We'll see. It affects every single one of us. Your future. How old are you? How healthy are you? What is it you want from healthcare? What do you think that we should expect from healthcare? What are the three biggest things you believe that need to be part of healthcare in the United States? Versus maybe what we have now, or maybe you think we're on the right path. Remember, I don't care what your stripes are, left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between, everybody's invited to this party. That's why I'm the kind of woman, I give out my numbers right away. I love that. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Hey, coming up this hour of America Tonight, besides John about healthcare, there are a couple of other things that we're going to hit on as well, including, this is a big one, I'm very, very excited, in fact, about this. In our third, or in our second segment this hour, we're going to talk to Adam Christing. He is a filmmaker who explored everything and anything about Mormonism, how people feel about it in this country, how does it play into the whole Mitt Romney running for president thing? Does it hurt him with evangelicals? Does it hurt him in general with the American people? What are some of the things that we know to be true with Mitt Romney and his relationship with the religion that he practices, Mormonism? And we haven't really delved into this as much, and Adam knows almost everything and anything you want to know about it. He has a great new flick out, so that's coming up round the bend here on ATN. Before we get to that, though, a couple of other quick things, big things. Eric Holder, at this point now, sits on the possibility of contempt across the board. The panel, the House panel, decided to escalate this standoff in their own way by voting for contempt. But this is just in the small group, in the committee. Now it'll go before Congress next week for a full-on vote. We all know what the battle is over. It's over Fast and Furious, the bogus gun-running op that was supposed to trace guns to the smugglers of the firearms to Mexico, but it didn't work. It really wasn't thought out well. And when one of our own, a Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, was killed in December of 2010, then the questions started to come about who came up with this. Where are these guns? How much money has been dumped into this? And more importantly, how many people have been killed with our guns? This has been going on for over a year, this investigation. 16 months to be exact. There have been hearings with ATF agents who said their objections to the tactics were ignored. There were agents who said, this is bad. We don't want this. This isn't working. And yet it still continued to go on. So Congressman Issa, who heads the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, they voted on the contempt measure on Wednesday, and they voted for it. In the meantime, the documents, the internal documents that the justice officials tried to respond to congressional questions about, they haven't been handed over. And the president threw a real monkey wrench into the situation, just bubbled up more controversy on this, by throwing down executive privilege, asserting executive privilege for the first time to block the Republicans from getting those documents about the operation, the ones that they wanted, the internal documents. So now this totally brings us full circle with the House voting on it. And if they vote to support it, then a contempt citation could be referred to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, an appointee of Obama's who is in Holder's chain of command. If it ends up in the courts, that whole dispute would raise constitutional questions about the power of the executive branch versus Congress. Oh, my. Sometimes there's a truce. And I think that that's what's happened in the past, and that's why Obama played that card. He played that card for the hopes of having a truce. So it's my money and it's your money because taxpayers are paying for this. As this road to contempt continues, do you think that it should be pressed on to a full-on vote of the House? I say yes at this point, because why not? I don't agree with the House Speaker Boehner, who thinks it's too much of a distraction for the Republicans. I think that that this should just be pressed forward. Why not? Absolutely. I mean, remember, there have been other things that have happened. I'm thinking of Alberto Gonzalez, and there have been other presidents who have used the privilege. Remember, Obama was the guy who said the Bush White House was hiding behind the privilege to avoid coming clean when there was a dispute over White House documents over the firings of U.S. attorneys, meaning Alberto Gonzalez, who was the attorney general, had to resign under the pressure of over those firings. We had one of the attorneys on this show. So the Democrats are backing Holder. And, you know, will the contempt fight affect what's happens through the remainder of this term? No, because what's going to happen is he can easily leave no matter what happens with on the presidential side. He can easily leave at the end of the year. But isn't it interesting that Obama, when he was a senator, was quick to grab the mic and accuse the Bush White House of using the privilege to avoid getting rid, coming clean, getting rid of people that should have been, they should have come clean over documents anyway, they should have come clean over why they fired certain attorneys. And so now the same thing is happening. Very, very interesting stuff, let me tell you. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to let you hear what some of those on the Hill had to say, like Senator Dick Durbin, for one. Elijah Cummings has a much different point of view than some of the others on this Fast and Furious stuff. He says nothing is being hidden. This is just ridiculous. So we'll let you hear what the congressman has to say. That and much more, including a wild heat wave in the Northeast. Just how hot did it get? We got the answer coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. My name is Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my Inc. magazine best-selling book, Safe Money Millionaire, because more Americans than ever are worried about having enough money in retirement, frustrated with losses in their 401ks or mutual funds, and upset about skyrocketing government debt and being ravaged by taxes. The Wall Street casino has recently had all the previous gains of 2012 wiped out. And after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered an IRS-approved way to safely grow my money 12 to even 17%, cut taxes dramatically, but also have my money protected when the next crash comes. Call 888-885-8820 to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to safely grow their wealth. Call 888-885-8820. Get your free book right now at 888-885-8820.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay and you don't care about me. I know it's just no use when all your lies become your truth, and I don't.
Welcome back to America Tonight, Coast to Coast, all the nooks and crannies in between. Very exciting to welcome our next guest into the house. I think he's drinking water, maybe a latte, I don't know. He's in our virtual green room right now. Adam Christing is with us, and Adam is a filmmaker. And here's the thing, and we've been talking about this on America Tonight, trying to wrap our minds around religion and Mitt Romney and what does that mean, the Mormon religion, what does that mean for Mitt Romney and voters, what does that mean for the evangelicals, all that kind of stuff. So if he'll put his drink down, we'll welcome him into the ATN house. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Hey, great to be with you. I'm doing all right.
All right, so we want to tell everyone your background. I said you were a filmmaker, not a Mormon, although somebody told me, even though you're not LDS, that you are a member of the Mormon History Association. You have a DVD called A Mormon President. You can go to amormonpresident.com so you can look at a clip of it. And like I said, we're very excited to have you on the show because it's really kind of an elusive thing trying to wrap our collective arms around this. First of all, what did you find when you pulled this all together, when you pulled this film all together?
Well, you know, after about 8 years of research, it just kept getting more and more fascinating, and all roads seemed to lead back to the Mormon prophet himself, Joseph Smith. He was quite a remarkable guy, whether people loved him and hated him, and they still do today. You know, evangelicals think of him as a false prophet, and Mormons and Mitt Romney, of course, think of him as a prophet on par with, you know, Isaiah in the Bible. But he ran for president himself in 1844, and so in many ways, Mitt Romney is sort of fulfilling the vision that the first Mormon prophet had.
And so the reaction among Mormons has to be very positive. Of course, that's what you found out, right?
The reaction to Mitt
Romney running and getting it. No, no, not the film. Well, I'll ask you that in a second. But actually him running and what you found out when you talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, if you really look a little bit deeper, you know, there's, I would even say giddy. There's a giddiness. And you really can't blame Mormon folks, because I'll take you back real quick. All the way back to 1838, believe it or not, there was an extermination order in the state of Missouri. It's hard to believe, but it's true, where the governor at that time, Lilburn Boggs, said it was lawful to exterminate Mormons. And so they were driven out of the state. And so from a Mormon's perspective, they've gone from being about as far outside as you can be to now possibly, you know, running the White House.
Do you think Mitt tries to distance himself, though, for real specific discussions about Mormonism? I mean, he doesn't do that with just God in general, but do you think he tries to not have that become part of the equation for you know, the people around him, for fear that maybe that alienates some others who have a different opinion of LDS or Mormonism?
Yes, I think you nailed it on the head. I think Mitt feels safe when he's talking about God and God Bless America and apple pie and Chevrolet and, you know, salute the flag. But if I've yet to hear him answer reporters' question about secret vows he's taken in the Mormon temple, or the Mormon teaching about a plurality of gods, or, you know, polygamy may be the only thing he's addressed. And he's been pretty astute about how he's done it. He kind of answers quickly and moves on.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. He doesn't necessarily completely dodge the question, but he tries to move on as fast as he can. And some of those debates, occasionally that came up, not a lot, but occasionally it did, and he was able to diffuse it pretty quickly. Has he seen your film, or are the people around him curious about your film?
Well, our film crew was a real unique mix. In fact, one of the places where we shot the film in California on this ranch was owned by a Mormon man, and his brother's an ex-Mormon man, and so there was almost like the very you know, thrust of our film was represented right there. But one of the guys in our crew was friends with Romney's son, and we were pretty close to getting Romney on camera for an interview, but in the end he said, you know, I'll wait till I'm in the White House to grant that interview.
Yes, so there again it goes back to the thing of, okay, let's not make this front and center, because you know it would be good for you, but snippets of it would certainly
right.
start to show up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any upside for him, really. But just to let you know, the film is not a hit piece. It doesn't make Romney or his prophet or the Mormon people look like idiots.
Right.
They're certainly not. But at the same time, there's quite a radical, I'll even say, history of Mormonism, where you're talking about polygamy and secret ceremonies and all kinds of things like that. New scripture, the teaching that Christ will return in his second coming to America, not to Israel. And so this film is really more in the middle, where we're showing a Mormon's perspective, but also the non-Mormon perspective.
Yeah, what's the deal with the secret temple and secret temple vows and all that kind of stuff? Because that's what people will say. I've gotten a few phone calls like that, but not in a long time, about that and versus the Constitution. What did you find out?
Yeah, one scholar I interviewed put it in an interesting way. She said if Mitt gets elected, his orders would be coming directly from Salt Lake City. But then another scholar would say, hey, he's not running for pastor-in-chief, he's running for commander-in-chief. So there's a lot of debate on that, and we cover that in some of the bonus features on the documentary, A Mormon President. My own take on it is that, you know, everybody has to vote their own conscience, and we don't in the film try to tell anybody how to vote. But I do think it's something worth looking at, that he did take secret vows in the Mormon temple. One of them is called the Oath of Consecration, where he consecrates essentially everything he's got, his loyalty, his mind, his heart, his money, everything, to the Mormon Church. And so some people have felt like if push comes to shove and there's ever a choice between the Church and the Constitution, that he might go with Salt Lake City over Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a huge, and we kind of talked about this in the beginning, but a little bit deeper, do you think there is a really huge anti-Mormon bias in the U.S., or not as much as you would think?
You know, I think there's actually more than you might think. There's, in particular, certain states, like in Missouri, we were filming at this site of a massacre where a number of Mormons were just massacred in 1838 or 39. And we were really thirsty. It was very hot. So we went into this restaurant/bar to get a cool drink. And the men inside there said, you know, you ain't Mormons, are you? And they were talking like the War of 1838 was still going on. Then you've got many evangelical Christians who say, look, I cannot vote for somebody who's part of a cult. And so they're using the C word, which is almost like the N word when you're talking religion, and that's the cult word. And so I do think that there's some anti-Mormon sentiment. At the same time, the Mormon church, you have to remember, when it started, Joseph Smith said every other church is wrong, that God told him that the only true church was the Mormon church. So some people might say, hey, the Mormons started that fight.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, one of the biggest things is, and we've seen this played out through the headlines and what's happened in a couple of, we'll call them cult places. In Texas, they had one with the LDS sect. But, of course, they were off the reservation, so to speak. So polygamy, front and center for a lot of people, that's it. That's really what they, when they talk about Mormons, that's the fear. And when you look at Mormons today, there's a couple of questions that come up. How about the thing with many wives? Is that prevalent or no? It's just more of these little sects that have the multiple wives.
Yeah, you know, I told one guy, I said, if you look at somebody like Newt Gingrich, he had skeletons in his closet, but Romney's skeletons are in his grandfather's closet. And that's because the Mormon church did practice polygamy from about 1838 all the way up into about 1890, even into the 1900s. But then they definitely stopped practicing it. But here's the thing, Kate. There's not just one Mormon church. There's actually something like 400 splinter groups of Mormonism. Yeah. And several of those splinter groups say, hey, we're going to follow our prophet, Joseph Smith, who commanded polygamy, that if you want the highest level of salvation, you need to take additional wives. But the big Mormon church in Salt Lake City does not practice it today.
Yeah. Do you think overall, too, the Mormons in general, we were talking about, you know, the secret oath and that kind of thing with the temple vows. Do you think that the Mormons, because this is another question that was occasionally thrown out to me. I told people we were going to have you on. And do Mormons believe in many gods? I mean, is that what you found or no?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, Keith, but all roads go back to Joseph Smith. And so he had a sermon where he said, in a nutshell, he said, as God is, man may become. And so the idea is that God was once a man, and by a lot of hard work, he worked himself up to godhood. He had children, and now we have a chance. And the reason Mormons are sealed, husbands and wives, in the temple, they're sealed forever. And you may have seen their bumper stickers like families are forever. That's because in the afterlife, they believe that they could become God and goddess of their own planet. And
the
so it's like this.
Specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And you customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMics.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMics.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMics.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMics.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
Of campaigning coming up in our next segment. But before we go there, a couple of quick things. I call them quick hits. One, did you know that the chief, the police chief in Sanford, Florida, in the Trayvon Martin case was fired? Boom, that happened. You knew something was going to go on there because of how the police handled that. And ultimately, what's going to happen next year in the courtroom, because it's going to take that long for this to go all the way full circle, the jury selection, the whole thing with George Zimmerman. In fact, now it's a question of what happens with his wife. Did she perjure herself by saying that they were indigent, and the whole argument over how much money they had when he was bonded out? Now he's back in jail. So that's coming up. That's coming up at the tail end of this week, actually. It's scheduled. So for now, that's on the back burner, though. The overall case, you know, with all the racism things that exploded all over, with all of the marches and whatnot, it's now there's been like a cooling period, because it's going to take that long for all the steps in the courtroom to play out. So this is the biggest thing that's happened besides what's going to come up with the wife and whether or not she perjured herself and what happens there. And does he stay behind bars? He was actually in hiding, remember, because so many people wanted to kill him. And we're talking about George Zimmerman now. So Bill Lee was the guy's name, and he oversaw the investigation in that neighborhood over the, you know, what happened with 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. And the lack of the arrest, I think, is what ended up kicking him out of that job, why he was ultimately fired. He took leave originally, offered to resign, and then there was just a little handwritten press release that was copied initially and pumped out all over the place, and then they did another one. All it said was he's permanently relieved of duty. That's it. He's relieved of duty. So the Sanford City manager was quoted as saying in the statement, "We need to move forward with the police chief that all citizens of Sanford can support. So I had to come to this decision because of the divisiveness that has taken a hold of the city." So you can overwhelmingly still feel that, even though all of the things, the Stand Your Ground law, the governor, Rick Scott, jumping in, the special prosecutor that he appointed, ultimately where this all ends up, we don't know until next year because we're not even close to that. These are just other little things that have happened along the way. So pretty big that the chief is gone. I wondered why they didn't just take his resignation when he first offered to resign, because that's really what should have happened. He would have saved face. It would have happened right in the beginning, and that would have ended any kind of backlash to him staying as chief. So, boom, he's out. That's a follow-up. Another follow-up to something that we've talked about a couple of times is how the National Enquirer breaks these stories. Like, they broke the John Edwards story. So he doesn't go to jail. He doesn't do any jail time for campaign finance fraud. The jury finds that in his favor ultimately. Now he's hanging out with Rial Hunter, who has a book coming out, and they're hanging out together and whatever. Who cares? We don't care about John Edwards anymore. But the National Enquirer broke that story, that he was fooling around, that he had this child while Elizabeth Edwards was still campaigning for him, still alive and riddled with cancer. So now the mother of Natalie Holloway is suing the National Enquirer, saying that the paper published untrue stories because they were such vultures, they wanted to profit from her death. So she decided, forget it, I'm pursuing this. Do you know that it's been since 2005 since Natalie Holloway disappeared? I can remember Larry King was still in there and he was talking about it. So she filed this suit saying that they keep doing it with the headlines, the articles, the statements, and this is why I'm following up with this. I can't stand it. You know, she said, this is it, we're done with this. She didn't mean she's done with the case, her daughter, that kind of stuff, but done with this whole putting up with the headlines. They never found her daughter's body. They had all these searches. There was massive media all over the place, worldwide attention. And in January, somehow this kind of was a blip on the radar screen for some people, the judge declared that Holloway was dead. I mean, they still hope that they find her alive, but if not, she has officially been declared dead. So I think Jeroen van der Sloot is completely responsible for this. The evidence is so overwhelming. It's unbelievable how they couldn't nail this guy shut. But I think they needed to move on. So it's because what can you do? They pushed every button they could, couldn't ultimately trip this kid up enough, and had to move forward. I have a friend who swears that Natalie Holloway is a sex slave somewhere, that they drugged her and pushed her off the island because she was a beautiful, young American girl, 18, and who knows, just awful, awful stuff for her family. All right, we're going to bounce back to the thing that is exploding with opinion, but has been for a long time, because we're waiting on the Supreme Court ruling. It'll come out next Thursday on health care. It affects every single one of us. Where are we headed? You know, at some point, you got to take some time, sit down, and start to think about what it is that you, where you see yourself going with healthcare. I've said this a bunch of times on the air because of all the research that I've really done on healthcare in general, and drugs and things that we're taking and chemicals and all that stuff that's out there. The best thing you can do for yourself is know what you're taking, know what you're eating, do all the things that you used to just push off to the side because you're healthy. You were healthy and you felt like you were invincible. But, boy, you can't anymore, forget it. We got too many chemicals, too many things ruining the soil, and which is why here on America Tonight I started, we have Ben Fuchs on. We have him on. We try to have him on once a week because he's so passionate about the idea that you've got to take control and you got to get away from pharmaceutical things when you can. You have to do that. And I wasn't taking any vitamins or anything, so there's only two things I take. The Extendivite because of heart stuff, just to make sure, because my family has heart disease in its background. And so I wanted to make sure that I protected myself there, and it's all natural. And you know that story. I have Don Wiskin on all the time. If you really owe it to yourself, go to that website. The stories are unbelievable. It's heartdrop.com. But that and Beyond Tangy Tangerine I started taking because the fact that I wasn't getting any of these other vitamins or minerals and started to get worried about it, because I realized even if I thought I was eating healthy, how much of the stuff wasn't there in the food that I was eating, even the vegetables. I mean, I didn't even know that when I was desperate and I'd have, you know, some canned vegetables with my meat, that the canned vegetables had everything out of it, any of the good nutrients in it. I wasn't helping myself so much. It would have been better to even go frozen if I had to. So, healthcare, what's in it? What's in it for you? What's in it for me? A lot. The future of what kind of care we're getting, what it's going to cost us, what's going to happen with companies, are they still going to offer it? That's riding in the balance that ultimately is out there as to what the Supreme Court decides. Is it the individual mandate thrown out, which I think on constitutionality probably it is because it hasn't even kicked in, and maybe some other things also fall by the wayside. All right, I opened up in this hour and I started talking about Eric Holder and the contempt hearing and what happened in that committee and will it move forward for a full vote. Lots of different opinions. Senator Dick Durbin talked about no hearing. Elijah Cummings, Representative Cummings, talked about that there really was no kind of, there was no cover up here, so they don't understand why the big fuss over executive privilege and the president. Take a listen.
This whole idea, everybody, what's he hiding? Well, I don't think he's hiding a damn thing.
Today's announcement by the NFL and further activities with the NCAA and other leagues in the future will help ensure that bounties are finished in football. Unlike many issues that come before us, this issue was discovered by the NFL. The investigation was initiated by the NFL, and the actions that have been taken against coaches and players was taken by the NFL.
Oh, thank goodness, some sense. Cummings says they're hiding stuff with Fast and Furious. Durbin moves forward to what's happening with the NFL because they were talking about this bounty hearing. So finally, while so much money has been spent on Fast and Furious and pursuing athletes like, you know, the Rocket, Roger Clemens, in the case of the NFL, Durbin says, whoa, 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 before we get into the whole Fast and Furious thing, while I'm watching this from the sidelines and the other chamber, forget this idea. We're calling off this hearing because we're satisfied with what the commissioner has done responding to it. I mean, he's the number two guy in the Senate. He met with Roger Goodell, and it first happened a couple of months ago when he wanted Congress to examine whether federal law should make it a crime to have a bounty system. He decided, no, the NFL is handling this right. Thank goodness. We avoided big football players testifying again. Stay with us.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
As we round the final turn here in this hour, anyway, of America Tonight, in a couple of different senses, the heat is on Eric Holder's back. The heat is on the Supreme Court to ultimately dump out two of their rulings. Their opinions is the correct way to say it. I keep saying rulings. Their opinions. And that opinion should, on health care, come out next Thursday. This Thursday, we should hear what happens with the Arizona immigration law. The heat is also on the people in the East Coast who say it feels like it's 105 degrees. Some of you are listening to me in the East Coast, in Connecticut, in Vermont, in Maine, in New York, and other parts, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And you're complaining about the heat. The scorching summer has started. The heat index was crazy today. At one point, I just felt compelled to look. I had to look. I couldn't believe some of the numbers I saw, what it felt like. People were in fountains in some of the big city areas, turning their hoses on, trying to get cool however they could. You got to sit on a block of ice. You got to sit on a block of ice. Whatever it takes, the scorching summer has certainly arrived. And I wonder if it's going to be the kind of summer that people talk about where you had X amount of days where it felt like it was 105 degrees. But really, I love the how it really feels because that's what it's about. How does it really feel? And at one point, I'm not kidding you, I saw it was New Jersey because I was worried about my mom. So I looked at the what it said for the real temperatures, what it feels like. It was up to 110. And I keep saying the East Coast, but it wasn't just the East Coast that was warm. Because in Milwaukee and in Detroit and in Louisville and whatnot, you still had some pretty high temps, at least in the middle 90s. And look, we all deal with heat. Everybody, don't you have this somewhere tucked away in your head, the hottest day you ever experienced? What was the, you know, what was the hottest day where you felt like you were just on fire? I got one. My hottest day, hands down, and I have been in some hot, hot places. I lived in a desert, which was Albuquerque, New Mexico. I spent time in Death Valley, California. That is hot. In fact, if you look at charts, usually it's always the extreme. I think today it was like 117. So I've been in hot situations, but hands down, the hottest. There's a place in Florida called Crystal River. It's famous for where manatees come in, and it's got great diving, and it's this big old lake, and it's awesome. There's pontoon boats, and people are fishing, and it's great. But I was out on a pontoon boat, and I felt like I was in a frying pan, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. Man, I threw that anchor down so fast. Boom. Threw that anchor down the second I could, and I dove off that pontoon just to anything to get cooled down. It was brutal. And I really believe this. Doesn't matter if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. Every single one of you listening to me, everybody out there, there's a common denominator. Everybody has a weather story, but I bet you have a hot weather story where you remember, geez, what if I ask you, what's the hottest you have ever felt in your life? You got a story. Definitely. I'm telling you, people, anybody who was by a beach, they were in that water. They probably barely came out of the water. Now, usually you go and you'll see people back and laying and getting tanning and they're on the blankets. I bet you all those chairs were up by that waterfront in some of those East Coast spots, and they were just right on the water, as close as they could get, or having those low chairs in the water because it was that bad. If it feels like 110, boy, you've got to, I think you really are staying in as much as you can. And if we go back in history, we know that Chicago, they've had some dangerous heat waves that have killed a lot of people. And if we go back in weather history, there are, you know, record-breaking temperatures. And it's all about not having any kind of a brownout, air conditioners running. And I'm sure in New York, the electricity demand was incredible off the charts because of how much electricity they use there. That's always the concern, what people are pushing it to. But you had cities like Boston, Syracuse, all of them were way over the 90-degree mark. Pittsburgh, Philly, Baltimore, I already told you that. Any of the cities around I-95. And it may be, I mean, if this is the beginning of summer and we're seeing these temperatures, it may be one of those really, really hot temps. Across the board. We might have a really wild summer in some places because it was kind of a mild winter. We really, in the country overall, it was kind of a mild winter, wasn't it? 117 in Death Valley. So the theme here was, as I said, the heat is on. And the Supreme Court is probably not going to reveal the Obamacare verdict, but Arizona is most likely, because that would make sense to me, because there will be some heat on this. There will be lots of discussion over it. The immigration ruling is big for a lot of – it's big for everyone in the country because – your own state, there's probably six or seven states, I know there is, that are pursuing the same kind of law that Arizona kicked in there, what people called their tough immigration law. So at least part of it's going to be upheld. I can't imagine. Can't imagine that that's going to be blocked. Will the law take effect is the key thing. Is this going to kick in? In the case of Arizona versus the U.S. before the justices, the whole dispute was over what the U.S. was saying, what they were saying, what the lawyer was saying for the U.S., is that it was a direct hit on racial profiling. That's what it was about. And, you know, this goes back to May of 2010. The Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, signs a law, boom, says that people will be subjected to immigration investigations when they're stopped on the basis of what, you know, asking for the ID or whatever, on the basis of their stop for something else. And now you have the ability to ask them the question. What, you have the ability to do that. But there were a lot of people that think that the problem with the law is you also are dipping into civil rights protections that shouldn't be enforced and blah, 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 blah. And the bottom line is civil rights protections for people who are in the country illegally. We keep going back to the same thing. I mean, it's true. If you're in the country illegally, well, don't worry, because we're going to let you vote, and it's shame on us if we try to have a clean voting rolls in Florida or wherever else. If we're trying to purge them, we're profiling. It's ridiculous. And then with this law, I am always asked for IDs. How do you exist without IDs? I can't tell you how many times I'm asked for IDs. Going to the bank, whenever I've been pulled over. One time, just a busted taillight, and I didn't get anything. The officer was nice and said, "Hey, I just wanted you to know that and get that fixed and whatever," but asked to see my license. So what happens when you get stopped and they ask you to see your license? You don't have a license. What's the deal? So 3% of the at least 13 million illegal folks in the country live in Arizona. That's the Department of Homeland Security statistics. That's their statistics. You know, how many are in the country illegally is a fluctuating number. The real specific number of how many are in Arizona, it is a guessing game, because the key word here is illegal. And according to statistics, illegal immigration from Mexico has definitely gone down in the last couple of years. Remember, the Pew Hispanic Center did a report on that. They say because of our job market and border enforcement, it's been down. But you've got five states. You have Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, South Carolina, Utah. They already have adopted some laws to try to discourage illegal immigrants from settling down in their states. And as I said, there's other states like Texas and California that are considering the same thing. So we'll see. Big day for Arizona, I think, on Thursday. Stay tuned for more on that on our next show.
Introduction.